Hello, Tribe. It is time to do some Q&A, and I am getting everything set up here. I am, if you don't know, I am on vacation. Well, working vacation. We are in the Caymans. I've never really traveled outside of the country before, but we are down here. We're having a good time. Yesterday, I spent the entire day learning from my mentor and teacher, Brooke Castillo. We had a full day of training with her. Tomorrow, I will be listening to her coach and take notes for half a day, and then I will be teaching for the second half of the day. So I get the honor of being able to teach in her for her master coaches. So if you don't know my history, I am not only have I lost 100 pounds, but I'm also a certified weight and master coach with the Life Coach School. And that was like, you know, I didn't go to college, and for me, that's been like my Harvard experience. So I take a lot of joy and a lot of pride out of being a master coach at one of the top life coach schools in the country, which we have a lot of life coach school girls in the tribe. So that's also nice. But if you're wondering why I look so amazing, it's because we're going to actually go outside today. We have been inside working. Spoonie's working over there right now. We've been here since Sunday, and we've pretty much have worked the entire trip. And so we've had 2.5 hours at the pool one day. And so we are going to try to do, actually have a meeting at 2 that I just found out about. And then after I do that, we're going to try to get a little bit of sun today. So anyway, all things are good though. It smells good. It's there's roosters everywhere, y'all. I'm just going to say, I did not realize the Caymans had roosters everywhere. And they all are outside our window, and they do their job all night long. Like, they don't go to bed. So Chris last night slept with earplugs in. He finally just ordered some from the local grocery store because he was like, I can't do another night of not sleeping. I mean, it's literally like, it is nonstop. They're just wild and they're everywhere. So everywhere you go, that's what you see. Hang on a second. I got to get something to drink. Okay, so you guys, here's how a Q&A call works. Normally we are on Zoom, but my problem is that I wanted to do it in Zoom, and the internet connection down here is not amazing, and it works. Facebook, it just has a different level of connectivity it requires. Zoom needed a lot more to be able to house so many of you. So we had to come over here, do a last minute switcheroo. We're giving everybody a couple extra minutes to get in here, just in case people went over to the Zoom place. So, and I don't know if you guys have any questions. I think I might be on a small delay. And Mary Jo, are you going to be posting, I'm assuming, all the questions in the filters tab? Just put it in filters. That's where I'm at. So, but guys, if you want to ask any questions, today's your day. You'll need to use hashtag ask, and then we will be answering the questions. What's Coast to Coast Crew? Kira, so what we have in PNP is accountability groups. So if you go to pnptribe.com, which for all of you, that is your membership site. So anytime you need like a video replay, you want to like basically use us as a Google, you want to take your No BS course, anything you want to do, it's all over in pnptribe.com. One of the things that I see that's very confusing for some people who are when they're brand new, they get into the Facebook group and they're like, is this everything? No, this is like the littlest part. Like, this is like this much of PNP. So I never want anyone thinking that the Facebook group is where you go get information. It's where you look for your learning. You don't look for shit over there. Here's what you do. You go over there if you're wanting to chat, and it's time for recess. It's always time for recess in PNP community. Now, you can ask questions, of course, and get community support and get a lot of feedback and all that kind of stuff. But do not use the Facebook group as a place to find a coach or find me. I do pop in there, but guys, I want you guys to think about this. There's no way for me to control my notifications because Facebook doesn't give you that option. And when you have almost 300,000 followers on your public page, you get tagged a fuck ton. So there is zero chance Like, I just always like for y'all to believe there's zero chance that if I tag Corinne, she'll ever see it. Because that's what happens. I mean, everybody mentions me in everything. Everybody on the public page mentions me in everything. So I like for you guys to think, like, okay, everything that's valuable and everything that's going to help me lose weight is on pnptribe.com. I like to think of that as going to school. I like to think of that as where you go to study. It's like your library. It's going to class. It's all the things. If I want to know my schedule, I don't go to the playground to find it. If I want to know about my hunger scale, I don't find my teacher on the playground to go figure that out. If I want to re-listen to a lesson, I don't go to the Facebook group to find the video. None of it's going to be there. I just always like for you guys to assume nothing is over there except for fun, except for community support, except for that kind of stuff. If it is your course, if it is how to lose weight, if it's any of those things, you will find all of that always over in pnptribe.com. Okay. And that is your membership site. I am just waiting on some questions. Okay. So here we go. How do you know if you're just having a craving or your feelings are triggering you wanting to eat? I mean, isn't sometimes it's just a craving? Yeah. So here's how we know if it's a craving. If it's a craving, a bite or two will do it. Cravings are answered in a simple couple of bites. If a couple of bites doesn't do it, you're trying to fill a hole that a ding dong and an Oreo will never fill. And you could eat a sleeve and you could eat a tub of it. You might go numb, but it's not a craving. So we have a lesson in phase 3 of No BS that talks about the differences between urges and cravings. If you are having I have a craving, like I had a craving today for like cheese and salt and stuff. So I had done a really long run this morning. I have been down here sweating my balls off the whole time and I've been exercising and I've been behind on my water. So yesterday I got ahead on my water, but I had been behind on it for 2 days. And today it was all about the salt. So when I ordered lunch, I ordered a cheese tray and I didn't finish everything because I didn't need to finish everything because I got my salty crave. My body was like trying to like equalize itself. Now, if I had been down here and been insecure about my body and worried about what people were thinking about me and nervous about teaching tomorrow and all this other stuff, I would have ordered food. And I would have wanted to keep eating. And all this week, I would have noticed myself eating, thinking it was a craving, but I never would have been able to get it satisfied. So like right now, I feel very satisfied. That is the difference. When we are having a craving for something, guys, it is a true, like, I just want something and that's very normal. So like what I want for you guys, like I really, you know, like I know I have you guys doing 24-hour plans and all that kind of stuff, but I want you guys to have a very healthy, normal relationship with food and cravings are part of a normal, healthy relationship with food. So every now and then you may when you're doing your 24-hour plan, you may really just want something sweet for dinner and you know you have a legit craving when you'll eat just a little bit of something sweet. And you're just about, you know what? I'm going to break my plan today and I'm just going to have like a little bit of cake and I'm not having dinner. And you track it and you examine it and you just notice that every now and then. That to me is like normal people don't always follow their plan. What's not normal though is thinking you're fucking weird because you crave cake and you eat your dinner and then you sit there and you obsess about cake. I need cake and everything. And then you eat a bunch of cake and then you feel bad about yourself. And then the next day you just keep eating shit because you feel like you're going to be a failure. That's a problem. That's what we're working on in here. So my job is to teach you the simplest of tools and stuff. But guys, I want you all to understand there is gray in losing weight. And we are going to figure out how to normalize all of it so that you're not overthinking the majority of the time you're following your plans. And then when you get to the point to where like you're losing your weight and you feel very comfortable and in control of food and stuff, every now and then you can like not honor a plan, but have great intention and be solid 100% that it was a great choice for you. That you're not doing it at your own expense. Right now, the reason why I'm having you plan so much is because you don't really know how, at the current time, to eat without it being at your own expense. So when we do a 24-hour plan and when we put things down on paper and we follow them and we track it and we see when we're changing and asking ourselves why and stuff, you start noticing the differences between the times that you're like legit eating behind your own back and at your own expense. And when there are just times like you're making a normal choice and it's okay. That's why I want you guys to even track when you break a plan. If you eat healthy for healthy exchange, I would rather you get so comfortable with being like, I am totally tracking this because it's just data. It's like, there's no reason why I wouldn't do a discovery worksheet because I feel amazing every time I do one. You would have no drama. You would just do it because it's a good habit to have rather than, well, I don't want to be all weird and do a discovery worksheet and like an apple for a banana. That's normal. I shouldn't have to do all that. It's like, you wouldn't argue with me at all if you thought, you know what? I don't have any shame over that. I want to do a worksheet so that I can see that there are times I make amazing choices. Rather than assuming that anytime you don't make a solid 100% choice, you must be wrong and bad. This must be a problem. Okay. Let's see. Let me go back to the top. I sing in a band at often until 2 a.m. My plan is to eat at my normal dinner time. And if I'm hungry after that, eat a snack that is protein or veggie based. Does it sound like I'm on the right track? I will add these snacks in my weekly plan. Perfect. I say go for that. How do you stop yourself and overeat? I disassociate and know that to stop, I need to get back into my body. Any tips on how to get yourself back into your own skin and fast? The first tip would be to like not expect yourself to get back into your skin and fast. The first thing is that once it's over with, like Laura, I know this is going to sound crazy, but the first step for you is to not think it's a problem that you're not getting into your skin fast. That's just like a, like, it's like, I need to do this because there's almost a sound of like an urgency. Like this is like a key piece and I've got to get it done now. It's like, I'm more interested in what happens when you come back into your skin afterward. Most of the time, and I know this because my best friend, she's a binge eater and we coach a lot on this and she's gotten to where she can come back to herself faster. And it's only because she spent a lot of time making sure that she came back to herself on the back end first. And that's what I teach. So very often when people are overeating, especially if they're disassociating, it's because whatever has been going on, they need to get out of their mind because they know they're going to judge themselves on the back end for the overeat. So what they typically do is they disassociate and then they don't want to get back in because of the beat down that's going to come. It's like they know the minute that the food quits numbing them and they know the minute that they come back into themselves, they're going to be like, oh my God, I'm terrible. I'm a binger or whatever it is, right? So making sure that you're willing to come back to yourself after you eat without judgment, that's the first level skill. So like step one is when I come back to myself, at the end of it, am I coming back with compassion? Am I coming back with curiosity, with understanding, with taking a look at like, this is not a problem. I tell you one of the things that my best friend said to me today, she was talking about a binge that she had and she does not mind me talking about this stuff. I'm going to tell you right now. She's the first one to say that she talks to me all the time about it because she's like, if this will help any of your ladies, I'm all in. But she came up with a good question for herself about the aftermath. And she said, she's gotten better at like when she's done watching her brain want to make this a big problem and watching her brain want to like say like, oh my gosh, like I'm never gonna get my shit together, whatever. And so she notices it and she said, I want to start asking myself like, what if this was the most pivotal day? Like if there's a day that I never binge again, that when I look back on it, what if today was the day that was the one that meant everything? And I was like, that is such a good question. I want you guys to think about like every overeat you have. Louisa, what does coming back mean? So sometimes when people overeat or when they're a binge eater, they eat until they're numb. They don't even know they're doing it anymore. Like it's almost like, think about conscious blacking out. It's like they just keep eating, just keep eating, just keep eating until they're miserable and until their body, like it takes them a while to even come back to realize how much food they've ate and like how much is in their body. So going back to my friend's example, I was thinking about all of you when it comes to overeating and discovery worksheets and stuff. Like, can you imagine if every single time in PNP that you ate off plan, or you ate past your two, or you ate when you were at a zero or whatever it was, that you thought, what if this was the one time that I was going to learn something that made it all click? What would I think and what would I do in this moment? I think a lot of you, the last thing that you would say is, well, you know what I'd for sure do? Beat myself up and quit. Because that doesn't match that question. If I gave you a crystal ball, or I said, hey, I have a magic crystal ball, and I can see into all of your futures, I know the exact overeat when it all happens for you and it all clicks for you, and it was this time. Would you take the opportunity to do it different? It doesn't mean that it ended all of them, but it was like, I know that this is the domino that fell that made the rest of them start falling. You would approach every overeat, and you would approach all of it. You would approach every 24-hour plan, every realistic plan, every time you showed up, you would approach it with a whole different mindset. Guys, that's what it's going to take to lose weight. The majority of you are here because you have to approach it with a whole different mindset than you're used to using. The mindset you've been using has gotten you to this point. And now we got to start thinking different. And that's why you're here. And that is the things that I'm going to be teaching you. What is a normal length of weight plateau before it's an indication that something isn't working? Abby, I usually say 4 to 6 weeks of zero change. So and I would also, let's say 4 weeks. And when you look back at your data, 100% dialed. You know you're honoring your hunger scale, you're making your daily realistic plans, all the things. Now, a lot of you are like, oh, it's been 4 to 6 weeks. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me how many realistic plans you had. Well, okay, so in the last month, out of the last 30, 25. Where's the other 5? Well, in those days, I was so pissed at the scale, I went out to drinks with my girl or whatever. It's like, okay, so you're not on a plateau. You have 5 times you need to be digging into, how do I clean this up? We're only on a plateau, and we're only stalled when we are dialed and we are consistently doing the things we need to be doing. So if you tell me, I have got, 30 days of completed plans. I've got 30 days of, I think I was at my 2 to 2. I can show you my food. I can do all the things. Then yeah, I always tell people, if you've got 30 to 60 of those, then get on a call. I will take a look at it. I will help you break it down. There is something going on. But what I usually end up happening is people will insist they're stalled. And if they looked at it from my point of view, and they're like, okay, am I legit at my 2 to 2 all the time? Or am I just think I am? And here's another good question. I actually did this on a coaching call not too long ago. Someone swore to God. Oh, who was it? I can see her face right now. She swore, Mary Jo, find the call. You'll know which one I'm talking about. But she kept talking about being on, Sean Mueller, I think is who it was. Swore she was on a plateau or whatever. And she was like, oh yeah, I always wait till I'm hungry. And she had her plans and whatnot. And I said, what about your plus 2? She said, yeah, I think I'm pretty good on that. And I was like pretty good? Or 100%? Because the way you told me about your negative 2, it was so convincing. And then when I ask you, are you stopping at your 2? There's this sense of wishy-washy there. Doesn't sound dialed. And then she was like, well, I think so and whatnot. And I said, okay, let me ask you this. If I had a way to go back and examine your brain, and I could tell 100% whether or not you stopped at your 2, would you bet $50,000 on the past 30 days that you stopped at a 2? She's like, no. I was like, well, if you won't bet $50K on it, then don't bet your daily energy expenditure on it either. get to work on like figuring out, am I truly at my plus two? Stop a little sooner, see what happens. So sometimes it's like asking yourself, would I turn over my 30-day records and bet $50,000 that I'm on a stall? If it's a no, ask myself why. What could be going on in here? What are the little areas that I might be missing because I keep thinking I'm doing all the things, or because I keep thinking I'm on a stall? And that's always an excellent question. If I have a habit of eating later at night, should I be planning for that with my 24-hour plan? Yeah. Like saving food for the evening or night, or should I focus on breaking this pattern? I tend to be hungry at night, but not so much during the day. I would just plan for it for now, Mary, if I was you. In the beginning stages, I always want people planning so that you're not in the habit of breaking stuff. You could try to break the pattern, but what I would do is I would actually put it on the plan as you do it now. And then you just tell yourself, okay, I'm going to check in at, let's say it's 9 o'clock is when you usually like to eat whatever it is. I'm going to check in at 9 o'clock and I'm going to make a conscious decision. Do I want to eat it or not? And if the answer is no, it's off the table now. We're done. Even if my brain screams and throws a big titty baby fit, it's a no. If I say yes, I can have it and I'm going to eat it consciously now. I would rather you do that and then every single night question that choice with the mindset of, Am I truly hungry? Do I really need this? Is this a night that I could go without food to teach myself that I don't need to eat at 9 o'clock? Because guys, this does happen, okay? Sorry, y'all are gonna like get a really amazing shot of my wahoo here, but we gotta do what we gotta do. A lot of you are gonna have hunger signals at night because you have trained your stomach to kick up its juices at night, even though you're not actually physically in need of food. There is a difference between experiencing some physical hunger and actually requiring some food. So for a lot of you, what happens is you will eat dinner at around 6. You'll eat a decent little dinner. And then every night for a long time, you've been having some treats or some things at like around 9. Well, just because you want to lose weight doesn't mean your stomach has not been like physically conditioned to ask for food at your normal time. And I want all of you to think this. Do you actually need the food? If you've had dinner at 6, you're probably going to be just fine. None of us are going to kill our metabolism or die if we don't have a snack to go to bed. It's not like you're going to be doing a bunch of shit, right? So it's one of those things where at first let's plan and let's understand that our stomach's probably asking for food it doesn't need and all that kind of stuff. But let's now eat it consciously and question it every single night. Like go through the process of, okay, is tonight the night that I start deconditioning my hunger at night, or is tonight the night I'm going to eat knowing that I'm going to continue to condition myself to eat at night? There is no right or wrong here. This is another one of those gray areas. You guys have to test things. You have to decide what is going to be like working for you. Try several things. On Mondays and Wednesdays, those are the nights I'm going to test, you know, going to bed without eating. The rest of the week, I give myself permission to eat every single night if that's what I want to do. Like allowing yourself to be thinking in those terms, guys. Deprivation, restriction, and all that stuff starts melting away because you are the one deciding which nights to do it. You are the one who's like, I'm going to just test things to see what I need and what I don't need, what I want versus what I do want, and all that kind of stuff. That's where we start like, you know, we're not just eating everything and anything we want, and Corinne's got some kind of magic pattern that allows you to just like lose weight. It's not about that. We are eating anything and everything we want while also learning how not to want it so much. Most of you are eating everything you want because you don't know how to want something and say no. Or you want food because you're not giving yourself the other wants you want so much in life. So you're trying to fill like this want, like it's like a want match. It's like, I really want connection. I really want to be with, like feel loved. I really want comfort. And I keep trying to fill that void with Oreos and wondering why it's not working and why I'm so miserable. And so what happens is if you just automatically take the Oreos out, you're left also without the comfort and everything. It's not that the Oreos were ever doing that for you. It's like you have to take these away eventually to prove to your brain that you can figure out how to get this stuff a different way. But you don't have to do it all at once. And I think that's where a lot of the diet industry goes wrong, is they don't teach us, like part of what I will be teaching you throughout all of your journey with PNP is how to identify areas of your life that you really want to start working more on. If you're stressed out all the time, let's work on why you're so stressed. And then it's so much easier to start backing food out. Because when we take down the stress of your life, we start thinking in a whole new way. That's why the planner is so important. It starts getting you more future focused and thinking about where you want to go. Then it's a lot easier for you to start letting go of the food. You don't need it anymore. You're willing to let it go now. It doesn't feel depriving. The reason why very often when we say no to food, it feels depriving, it's not because you can't have the food. It's because when it's gone, you're deprived of comfort and you're deprived of these other things. But that's not the food's fault. We don't put the food back in to supply that. We teach you how to comfort yourself. We teach you how to love yourself. And that makes all the difference in the world. I just joined on the 29th and wanted to ask, if I do my plan the night before and sometimes I will forget to include something in my plan, can I add it in the morning before I start my day, or just make sure I add it another time? Either way, Cynthia, if you want to add it in the morning, that's fine. I make my plan for the day in the morning. When I say 24-hour plan, I just want the next 24 hours kind of planned. But I like to make my plan in the morning. So I wake up first thing in the morning. That's when I make my daily plan. So mine's technically 4 to 12 hours. So it's fine either way. Just try either one. If you like planning at night and you find that you're going to do better by having your plan done at night and you wake up in the morning oh, I forgot to put down a snack, I just write it on there. I think that's fine. So I want all of you to think about when we're doing our plan ahead of time, it's not so much about that, how many hours. It's teaching you the skill of saying, okay, I want to decide what I'm going to eat with my love and my compassion and my best self, choosing it all. I don't want to rely anymore on the stressed out version of me at 5 o'clock to decide how much weight I'm going to lose or gain. I don't want to rely on the version of me at 8 o'clock that's grieving, my mother or whatever, to decide how I'm going to comfort myself anymore. I don't want the version of me at 12 o'clock who is so worried about what their boss thinks about their job and stuff to be the one in charge of what I eat for lunch. I want this version of me to be in charge. This version of me really loves me. This version of me wants the best for me. And this is the version that is going to take those other three, the one that's grieving, the one that's, stressed out, or the one that's scared of their boss. And she's going to hold their hand and say you get to be stressed and stuff, and I'm going to take care of us. And that's what I want you guys to be thinking. There's one version of you that totally gives a fuck. She just does. She wants so much for you. She is in the future. She is the one who's living your dream life. She is the one who's I have figured out how to not, I have figured out how to have a boss that we don't like and not eat over it. I have figured out how to grieve our mother or whatever you're grieving and really feel sad and not need food to get through it. I have figured this out. So let me be in charge. While in the moment, you get to be sad and you get to be overwhelmed and you get to be confused and stuff. But just know I got the food part taken care of. That's the kind of relationship I want you guys really establishing. I know all of you come to PNP for weight loss, but one of the things that we do really well here is we help you lose that mental weight. So many of you are carrying around such an emotional load on yourself that you're going to find that as you keep showing up for your planner and you keep listening to No BS and you participate in the replays and stuff, you're going to be like, I'm just fucking thinking better. Like, I'm just, like, I notice I'm starting to, like, question how I've always been so negative or, you know, whatever it is. Like, I'm just showing up different in my life, not only for other people, but for me. And that, guys, that's where real weight loss takes a hold. A lot of us have lost weight before, but we didn't lose that mental weight. We just figured out how to deprive ourselves and restrict ourselves while also suffering through life and not even questioning, can we be in control of our life? Can we change things? Can we do anything? I have started with exercise each morning at 5 a.m. for 20 minutes. I drink bulletproof coffee for breakfast. My hunger cues have started way earlier in the day and come on suddenly. Any advice on how to handle? I just eat. If your hunger cues are coming on, I would just eat. My hunger cues come on early too. I drank coffee for a long time and didn't eat until like probably 11 or 12. I still drink the coffee most days. Like, I don't drink it every single day anymore. If I'm going to do a run, I almost can't drink the coffee anymore. Otherwise, I about shit my pants. That MCT oil and I'm like jiggling for an hour and a half is called like Squirt City. So that's a no. But I've noticed that ever since I've started training, especially for that 5K and a half marathon, I've had to be really mindful of like, I get hungry sooner. And guess what I do? I just eat. I just don't eat a bunch of shit. I don't make it a problem. Because your body is designed to send you hunger cues when it wants some energy. Okay? I want you guys just listening to your body. But if you're getting hungry, that's fine. Now, if you also want to just wait and just be like, I'm going to like train my stomach to not to be hungry, that's fine too. But I would probably just drink. Let me like do your exercise bite for 20 minutes. I would drink your coffee. And if you notice you're getting hungry, that may just be your body's sign of saying, hey, you need just a little something. I would start with something really tiny, like just like a scrambled egg, some toast or fruit, just to kind of see if you need a meal or if it just needs a little bit of something. How do you reconcile your small level ups when you don't see a change in the scale in a week? I keep giving up on my level ups because I don't see the scale go down. Let me ask you this, Stacy. Here's how you reconcile it. If I quit leveling up, is the scale going to go down? That's a hell no. The scale is not going to go down without some level ups. If you like, that's what we need to think about. So pick another area every single week. Pick another area. You don't even have to wait till a week. Each day, just ask yourself, is there a little something I can do? Is there a little something I could do? What I would do, Stacy, is I would choose, like, I would go through my stuff and be like, okay, what is like the one thing that I bet if I changed this week would make a big difference? And then put all your energy and effort into the one thing. Like, don't be like, well, I'm going to need to do this. I'm going to need to do that. Blah, blah, blah. Make a list. But I would tell you, the majority of you, the two places to start with level ups that usually make a big difference is, no matter what, this week, I will not eat until I'm hungry. No matter what. A lot of us think we're hungry, but it's like, if you're like, well, I eat when I'm at my two, I think at my negative two, I think I'm hungry. It's like, wait until you know. The word think, take that out of your vocabulary. That's going to be the first level up. It's like, I thought I was eating at my negative two, but now I'm going to like legit wait. And it may mean a few days of me waiting way longer than I want to. It may mean that this week my brain freaks out waiting for hunger, thinking I'm missing a meal. I don't get to do this, whatever. It's like, okay, that's fine. Anticipate that. And be like, is that okay for me? That might be what's required to break my plateau this week, is to like experience a little freaking out, to like just watch my brain make it such a big deal. Like, our brains love to be like, but oh my God, you're not going to eat a meal. Everybody's going to judge you and you're going to so miss out. Like, your life's probably over because you're not having ding dongs while everybody else is having the fucking ding dong party at the office. And on top of that, this is some bullshit. I'm sure your metabolism is going into the toilet. Like, our brains will do all of that. And it's like, are you willing to listen to it and be like, oh my God, like that is so ridiculous. It is like my brain is trying to like revive old soap operas. All I'm trying to do this week is just bust a plateau. And my brain thinks that we are taking away the pacifier for life. So it's like having, like, you got to ask yourself that. So the other area is, so for some people, it's like waiting for hunger. And for a lot of you, that is like, you know, don't change your food. Because waiting for hunger is going to be like, you know, driving nails up your veins. So don't be trying to like, well, I'm going to eat broccoli and chicken while I'm waiting for my hunger. When last week I was never waiting for hunger and I had 3 pizzas. Like, guys, be fucking reasonable. That's why we all flip out. We think we're like, ugh, all the things. So then the other side is, all right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop when I'm satisfied. Yep, that's what I'm doing. This week, it's probably going to be sitting there. I'm going to think that I'm wasting food. There's some kid in Africa who's, you know, on the, like, just drew the short straw because I'm going to be, like, throwing some food away. And I'm going to offer it to my husband. When he says no, well, fuck, I should eat it. Like, that's probably going to come up. And, you know, just all the things. You have to anticipate that. But I would start there. And then some of you are like, well, I don't want to start with that stuff. What about food? It's like, well, level up your food then. If you've been eating 3 slices of pizza, switch to a thin and order 2. Like, start with any of the level ups you want, but make sure they're like, if you're not seeing the scale move, make it a legit level up. Post in here. Like, go to the Facebook group and post, like, here's what I've been leveling up. If I wanted to kick it up to, say, 5%, what would that look like? You can talk, like, y'all can strategize level ups all day long. Just remember that you need to, like, you'll get probably 100 different ideas from people who have lost 50 to 75 pounds, who have thought they've lost their mind for joining PNP to begin with because they've only been here a week. And that's okay. Some people are going to give you, guys, remember, you're going to be reading advice and you're going to be reading strategy and stuff that people are doing who are way further down the road than you are. I want you to take note. I want you to notice, oh my gosh, I bet at one point they were like me, flipping out that if they have to give up their cookies, then this is some bullshit diet that's never going to work. And now look at them. They're like doing these kinds of level ups. Rather than flipping out and saying, oh, here's the proof that this is a restrictive diet. Guys, that is crap. Stop thinking that. Dead stop. That is how you convince yourself that you can't lose weight. And that's all on you. I'd look at them bitches and I would just be like, holy fuck. One of these days, I am going to be that confident. One of these days, I'm going to have enough strength around food to challenge myself like that. That is amazing. I can't wait for that day. That's exciting. And I'm going to take a note of that. But for today, this is where I'm at because I know that's where all of them started too. That is how you use the power of community. That is how you use the Facebook group to your advantage that nobody else out there has. Like all them hoes that are just sitting there listening to the podcast all the time, you know what they got? The cold outside where they don't get to see people far down the road. You know what they get to see? Their friends doing keto all the damn time and nobody being a voice of reason. Like, strap in. You get to use the power of the community any way you want. We're told in No BS to listen to our body and hunger cues. So if we're still hungry at some point in the day after we finished our planned food, do we basically just note that and plan for more the next day rather than going off plan and eat more? That's what I would do, Christy. So the reason why I advise you to do that is so that today you get to see what your brain thinks when it's hungry. So you get to notice, do I flip out? Do I think something's going wrong? Or they're like, well, okay, that'll be fine. I can always plan for more tomorrow. Like, it allows you a sneak peek into your mindset of, something's going wrong when I'm hungry, or I can deal with this. And tomorrow, guess what I get to do? I get to learn from this and decide, is that the kind of hunger that's just tolerable? And maybe I've been eating over it and maybe didn't need to. I just didn't like being hungry at all. And I never even questioned if I could sit through it, or it's not okay. I don't want to be that hungry. I probably should plan a little bit more. Maybe I'm not planning enough, because maybe the reason why I don't have enough food plan is I just look at it and it's like, oh, I let a little diet mentality sneak in there. I can kind of see where that is. No answer's wrong. It's the question of listening for what is your brain telling you. I'm new here and I'm a type 1 diabetic. I've been doing great with making a 24-hour plan, but I have one struggle. I've been experiencing some low blood sugar and have to treat with carbs. I think that's fine. These are carbs that I didn't plan for. So when you have a medical condition, here's how I would do it. Look, here's the deal. These are the carbs I didn't plan for. So after I eat them, I feel like I failed my plan, and then I want to eat all the crap that I didn't plan for. No. That's a no. I'm just going to tell you how to think, Allison. So I'm going to make this one super easy. And I usually don't have to do this, but since you're new, we'll give it to you. If I'm a type 1 diabetic, here's how I roll. It's no different than me being an exerciser, okay? On the days where I have a heavy-ass run and stuff, I plan for extra. For a type 1 diabetic, I would always have, like, here are the carbs that I eat when I'm having low blood sugar. Done. They're always on the plan. You don't have to write them down every day. You just need an agreed-to thing, because what's bullshit is using your type 1 diabetes as an excuse to overeat. That's crap. You know for sure that you shouldn't be doing it. So don't sit there and be like, well, I'm a failure, and that's why I'm going to overeat. It's like, that's not why you're overeating. You're overeating because you choose to think like a douchebag about yourself. That's why we're overeating. It's not because you are a failure. It's because you don't rein in your thoughts that create you failing your weight, failing your goal. And that's what we're going to do. So type 1 diabetes, if you have type 1 diabetes or any other kind of similar situation, then how I would do it is when it says like creating your food plan, you need to have a category for low blood sugar foods. Those are the foods. This is how much I'll eat. And then when that's done, and we're done. And we're not a failure because we followed the plan. And then that way you don't have to write it in every single day. You just know that that's your thing. I'm finding that when I use the hunger scale, I'm not really hungry until lunch. I'll eat a normal dinner and then I'm hungry at like 10. I stay up till 12-ish. Lord, I'd go to bed early. I don't know how the fuck you guys stay up so late. I know medically it's bad to eat late. Should I ignore hunger at 10 for now? Or as a newbie, do you think it's fine to learn my hunger scales and get through it? I don't like you guys eating like at 10 or 11 or 12 o'clock at night. Here's why. My mom has Barrett's esophagus. Barrett's esophagus is the precursor to esophageal cancer from eating at night and laying down watching TV for years and years and years. And then when she had a weight problem on top of it, she ended up with a lot of reflux and stuff. That's why I don't like it. It's not because of weight loss. It's not because people who don't eat after 10 o'clock somehow magically lose more weight. It's because I'm thinking about your future self. My mother is 63 years old, and I don't want her to die of esophageal cancer. I don't want you to die either. So that's my spiel on that. So here's what I would do. You don't need to eat at 10. Tell yourself that. You just told most of it in here. It's not that you're going to ignore your hunger. You're going to retrain yourself to do one of two things. Go to bed earlier. That doesn't mean you go from 12 to 10, but start backing the truck up a little bit. I don't know what your sleeping patterns are. I don't know how late you get to sleep in and everything. But, you know, like, I just think every grown-ass woman should be in bed by 8:30, to be honest. But because that's when this grown-ass woman goes to bed. I am such not a night owl. I get teased by my friends because like they wanted us to go to dinner the other night and I was like, y'all aren't even meeting until 7:30. I was like, it's a no. Like, we're going to bed. We just don't do that. We don't roll like that over here in the Crabtree family. But what I would do though, honestly, is if you do want to stay up till midnight, that's no problem. Just know that you're going to get hungry around 10 and that if you want to eat, you don't need to be laying down and stuff. You need to be upright for a couple of hours. And you need to plan whatever you're going to eat. Or you need to learn how to, like, say, okay, then at 10 o'clock when I get hungry, I'm going to untrain myself to be hungry. Because I would like to be laying in bed and Netflixing it or scrolling my iPad or talking to your husband. Whatever it is that you do at, you know, I don't know if you're working. Maybe you're working or whatever. But just kind of check what's going on there between 10 and 12. And then, like, if you're going to be upright, have you a light snack? Make it boring though. Like, say, like, you know what I get? I get like an apple. I get like carrots and hummus. And if that doesn't sound good, you're probably not hungry to begin with. You're probably having like a desire to eat. And then one other thing that you can do, Jesse, is you can ask yourself too, like at 10 o'clock, if I'm not going to eat, what am I going to be doing? You know, you just question, this may or may not be it, but a lot of people that eat that late at night, they're using it as a way to relax, as a way to reward themselves for a long day, as a way to stop thinking about their day and stuff like that. So if that's the case, you know, I would probably try practicing, like saying, okay, I'm going to like back out how often I do it so I can see kind of why I'm choosing to eat anyway. It's just a few suggestions. I'm about to hit my first weekly weigh-in, and it looks like I went up a little. Doing three of the basics, any advice? I'd probably do the fourth one. Which one are you not doing, is my question, April. If you're going to be up a little, it's in the fourth basic. So tell, like, can you post real quick in the comments which basic you're not doing and why you chose not to do it? I showed up at work yesterday and there was a thank you gift at my desk, a jumbo container of Sanders dark chocolates, not on my plan, so I didn't eat any. Small win. But here's what I'm struggling with. Normally I would eat the hell out of these, binge them, think about them every day if they were in my house. I am an April baby, but I'm just getting control over my overeats and the power this type of food used to have in my life. So my question is, should I keep this container in my house and learn how to eat one here and there, controlled, 24-hour planned manner, or do I level up and just get rid of the container entirely since these types of sweets don't serve my health and weight loss? There's no right or wrong answer. It already sounds like you have power and control over them, though. I think you are... So if you're not following your 24-hour plan, start doing that. Just start following your plan. Like, tell me why you're not following your plan. Give me your reason for not following your 24-hour plan. So what I would do is... If you're ready to just get rid of it, I mean, that's what I do. If people send us food, I'm just like, no. Like, I love the sentiment and thank them for it, but I'm going to tell you right now, there are so many amazing things in my life, like my family, my work, you guys, all the things. The last thing Corinne wants to do is sit around and figure out, like, do I want to eat that or not? Just... I don't have the desire to sit there and do it. Now, if I had problems with eating food and stuff, like, I just don't want the annoyance of it. But if I was really struggling with it and I wanted to use it as a way to practice, I would probably set that up. But if you're not really struggling with it, I would just be like, I got other amazing things to work on. I'm planning my 24 hours, but not following. Can't figure out why. Is it realistic enough, April? Right, type in what your 24-hour plan for today is. Should I wait until I'm hungry to drink food with calories? I have coffee with heavy cream in the morning with my breakfast, but today I wasn't hungry for breakfast, so I had the coffee without food. What do you think about that? I think it's fine. I have coffee with heavy cream in the morning with my breakfast, but today I wasn't hungry for breakfast, so I had the coffee. I mean, I do that most days. That's fine. It says 7 hours of sleep. I usually get that amount, but if I wake up and I'm really awake without an alarm and it has been 7 hours, do I count that since my body decided it had enough sleep that night? I think that's fine. I am struggling so much with self-love, even self-like, and I'm just half-assing. I joined in September and have gained. Heather, take the self-love course. It's over in the bonus courses. Get on it, like, today. There's no, like, waiting and pissing around either. If you're willing to ask the question, you should be willing to show up for the course for 30 straight days. You'll have to do self-love prompts and all the things. You will always half-ass. Like, you'll never make yourself, all of you, you will not make yourself a priority. You will not take away food and all of that stuff. If the only thing left is when you prioritize yourself, you're prioritizing someone you don't like. And if you take away food, the only conversation left is a shitty one. So eggs, bacon, and pancakes today for breakfast. Two meal prepped, already cooked, snacks and nuts. Okay, April, what are you eating then? Because this food, you don't want it. Like, you know what this says to me? I have my diet food. I don't know why I don't want it when I'm like eating chips. Like, tell me what you are eating, because this, like, I don't know what your two prepped meals, already cooked, snacks, nuts, and a healthy shake. Fuck your shake. Fuck those nuts. You probably don't want them. If I had to guess, you don't either. You're putting them on there because you think you should. Look, what you're planning food that you're not eating and you're gaining weight. So why don't we just plan the food that you're eating and eat it, like, and it's going to feel like shit. I'm going to tell all of you right now the biggest problem all of you will have. Like, not all of you, but the biggest problem most people have, they won't do that realistic plan. They'll plan like all this like diet stuff and they won't follow it and think shit ain't working and whatnot. And it's like, no, you're the one not working. Cause I say do a realistic plan, because you'll be like, well, there's no way I can lose weight eating that stuff that I'm eating every day. It's like, yeah, I know. But right now what you're trying to do, I'm ordering burgers and fries. You need to plan burgers and fries. You need to have it on the plan, because this week, here's the difference. This week, you would have ate burgers and fries each day in a whole new mindset without feeling guilty, broken, and like nothing's working. Rather than eating burgers and fries and being like, shit, it's gonna be really hard to lose weight eating burgers and fries. You may stop short eating, because your conversation in your brain will be on. The version of you who gives a shit about weighing in, she's eating burgers and fries. And she's like, what are we doing? Right now, the version of you who doesn't want healthy bullshit food has turned off and is trying to eat these burgers and fries. That's the difference. You guys, I'm going to tell you right now, you poop on my 24-hour plan, you poop all over my realistic plan and stuff, you don't want to do it, you fight it tooth and nail, and you waste so much of your emotional energy because you think you can't lose weight doing it. And I'm going to say, eating a realistic plan could be one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do. It is so much easier to eat your burgers and fries, your pizza, and your ice cream when you're just like, fuck it, I'm turning it all off. No judgment here. Just eating. When it's on the plan and you have to actually go get it, you're not like sitting there in fuck it mode at all. It's like, okay, this is on the plan. I don't know how this is going to work. I really don't understand all this. Like, your brain freaks out. It's not, guys, I want you to hear this. And I think this is the first time I've ever said it this way. Your brain freaks out because it's not used to eating your normal bullshit on purpose. It's used to eating it without any purpose at all, without any hopes and dreams, without even caring about yourself. And now you're going to eat it while caring about yourself, with your hopes and your dreams staring you in the face, and with all the purpose in the world. And it is, your like, for some of you, your skin will crawl. For some of you, you'll eat it and it will be such a relief to be able to have these foods that you won't eat as much as you normally do, because you're not afraid they're going to get taken away anymore. And then you start having them like normal people do. Normal thin people who just eat a burger and fries every now and then because they want one. And when they get satisfied, they just stop. And they don't need to finish it because they know they got that prepped meal and that healthy shake and nuts staring them in the face for the next day that they never wanted to begin with. As I look at other people's plans, some of them seem super healthy, as if they've been, as if they're being graded by the teacher and they wanted to get the right answer. Maybe they did. Who gives a fuck? I care about your plan, not theirs. If I'm being honest, that's why I'm struggling with journaling. $1 million question. I'm going to tell you, not everybody's eating like that. That's your thought, Maureen. Some people are 50 pounds in, and that food is not about being graded. That's because they started with burgers and fries and ate them on purpose and realized, oh my God, this is not how I want to live my life. I thought it was. I was wrong. I want more for myself. I don't like burping a burger all afternoon. And I never noticed it because I was always so tuned out because I went into fuck it mode that I didn't realize how much indigestion I actually had every day. y'all be real careful about like what reality is and what your thoughts about what you're seeing are. They must be wanting to be graded. So what? Why do you care why somebody's eating the way they do? It could be working balls out for them, or they could be sitting there in restriction-ass land. Who gives a shit? I want to know what Maureen wants. What is Maureen going to do? And please don't yell at me. That's over. I yell. That's me. You're not struggling with journaling because of what somebody else has decided to eat. You're struggling with journaling because you won't start where you are. And you have judgment over you. You're using them as your convenient excuse. It's like, you gotta quit giving a shit what other people are doing and start giving a shit about what Maureen is willing to do for herself. After decades of eating cookies after lunch and dinner, how do we learn not to want it? You plan it. And let me just tell you, the least of your concerns right now is your cookie habit after dinner. Your biggest thing is, how do I get out of judging myself based on what somebody else is deciding to eat, rather than being curious about why do I want cookies every night after dinner? Maybe you have an amazing reason. Maybe you have a terrible reason, but you're not going to know your reason by staring at, you know, Susie Q's food plan. You'll never find your reason doing that. Susie Q's food plan is her business and her business alone. And if she decides to share it, she gets to do that with everyone. Are level ups only food related? Can I increase the Stairmaster? Yeah, you can increase anything you want, guys. Level ups are not limited to that. I had an off plan eat yesterday on M&Ms. Is it strange that I didn't beat myself up or feel discouraged about it happening? It's not strange. I felt neutral about it and enjoyed them. It was such a different feeling than past off plans. I did a discovery worksheet and I'm puzzled that I didn't have any fear over it. I just enjoyed them and moved on. I'm 10 pounds from goal. I think it's fine, Mary, but here's the thing. Like, I want you to quit, like, is it weird that I didn't beat the shit out of myself over it? We don't need to beat ourselves up. I just want you to understand, like, ask yourself, why did I feel the way I did about breaking my plan? And do I like that reason? Because I think in your mind, it's like, I either have to celebrate it or I have to be upset about it. There's like curious is in the middle. Can we just be like, I wonder why I wanted to break my plan yesterday. Do I like my reason? I really wanted M&Ms. I added some M&Ms. I did it this way, like to kind of describe it to yourself. And then just say like, is this going to work for me long term? If not, okay, let me figure that out. If it's not going to work long term, what would I need to do the next time it happens? I think that's how I would approach it. I do a recovery worksheet when I eat off plan, but what can I do for when I don't make a plan? You can still do a recovery worksheet. They're actually called discovery worksheets for now, guys, or from now on. So just for everybody, we quit calling them recovery worksheets. They're now called discovery worksheets. And the new one is inside of No BS. It's also on the worksheets page. But you can do the same thing for when you don't make a plan. You can just question it. You can also just do a thought download on it, Mindy. Allison. That was Allison. I need a recovery worksheet on steroids for this. No, you don't. You can ask it, like, look at the sheet and just answer the questions with it just being without making a plan. Like, where was I when I didn't make my plan? What was I thinking? What was I thinking about for the day? All those kinds of things. Do you have any recommendations aside from continuing with a 24-hour plan and the four basics for a business trip? I have a trip coming up, all concerned how this will work. There's a whole lesson on traveling. It's in No BS. I would go and take that, Mindy. There's also a worksheet on, I think there's a worksheet on traveling over in the worksheets section. If you go to weight loss resources and stuff, Mary Jo, find all that stuff and post it in there so that it's in here. I can't remember where the lesson is. I can't remember if it's, I think it's phase one and I think it's module three, if I'm not mistaking. I'm trying to go by memory, but there is one for like vacations, trips. They're all the same. You know, it's essentially plan what you can plan. And, you know, like if you know you're going to go to a restaurant that night and you find out 30 minutes before, get on the phone, look up the menu, decide ahead of time what you're going to eat, boom, and we're done. And when we go in, guess what we don't do? We don't open the menu to look at all the fucking shit we can't have. Guys, if I ever give you one tip, and you like, if you just leave P&P knowing this one thing, when you go to a restaurant, do not look at the menu for all the things you can't have. Look at the menu and go straight to the salad section first. Always look at things I can have first that are no-brainers if I just want to eat healthy. Most of you put yourself through pain first and then be like, well, let me see what I can have. And you'll go to the salad and you'll go to grilled chicken and stuff like that, and it will look like a second-class citizen. Because you started with looking at stuff from a negative poo-poo mindset first. When I open a menu, I always immediately go to the section where there's steaks and proteins. I always look for, like, what looks good, seafood, chicken, and steak. Because there's almost always something grilled. There's almost always something really good. And it's going to be tasty and all the things. Because I know before going to a restaurant, am I treating or am I just eating like I normally do? And if I'm just going to be eating like I normally do, then I go to the items that I would normally eat first. And I don't sit there and have a stroke and heart attack that I'm not going to have this other stuff. As if it's the last damn time in my life that I'm going to be on in a restaurant eating something. And then I tell myself, and you know what? People around me are probably going to order delicious fucking shit that's going to smell amazing. I'll probably live. I have those conversations with myself. I've been on vacation. If not had one, well, I take that back. Chris, the other night, I ordered them scallops last night. They had French fries in them. They had a few French, he's got his earbuds in. He ain't hearing me. The first night we got here, so I had agreed on this trip that I planned 3 glasses of wine every single night. I was like, that's my thing. I'm going to have 3 glasses of wine every night. And I haven't had 3 glasses of wine every night. You know, shock, shock, that when you plan for it, there's some nights you're just like, oh, I don't know if I'm in the mood. But I swear to God, if I hadn't planned for it, I would be talking myself into it every single night. So then the first night we got here, I had a salad. It was at this beach bar. And we had traveled all day. And Chris had a few French fries left over. And I ate the few French fries. And I was like, okay, well, I don't want to be doing that all week long. So I looked at the menu because I knew we would probably come back. And I agreed with myself. After I ate, here are the things I will likely be like, this will be amazing food to choose from. So I agreed from that point on that I would have like ceviche and tortilla chips because I like tortilla chips. They have 2 different salads that look good. They had a scallop dinner that looked good. The words were a little tricky. I didn't realize there was French fries. Of course, it was very delicious, but I saw it from afar. And when it came, I was like, oh my God, this has a few French fries in it. So I've had that. And all of you will know this. What is my all-time favorite dessert? Like, seriously, high five to the first person who types it in. And it can't be a coach because one of the coaches will type it in. So you can't be a coach, but you have to name Corinne's favorite dessert of all time. They have it here at that beach restaurant, which is the only restaurant we've ate besides room service because we're boring as shit. I have either had a blondie. They have a blondie. And so I looked at Chris and I said, you know what's going down? He was like, what? And I said, Friday night, I'm going to have the blondie. And I was like, and I ain't eating any other dinner. It's going to be wine and blondie. And I planned it a week, like it was basically Sunday night, and that's what I'm having Friday. And guess what? All week long, I'm looking forward to it. I will not eat it like a fucking insane person. I have not looked at it one other time this entire week. I have had plenty of little salads, fruit plates. One of the things I do when I travel, guys, is I always look at menus ahead of time, or I look at the room service menu and I pick out things. Like, these are the it ain't bread pudding. Donna, boo. Just kidding. I pick out things ahead of time so that I know what to eat. You can ask the coaches. Like, when we travel, I eat the same stuff almost all the time. I find something I really like. I find my jam. And I take a lot of comfort in that. I love just eating something that I know I'm going to like over and over and over again, rather than eating a bunch of stuff. I don't know if I'm going to like it. And debating and deciding. And I don't like that. And I think I'll watch a lot of you go through that pain all the time. And I don't want you to like spend so much energy. I would rather just know what I'm going to eat and then spend time talking to Chris, because we don't always get to go places and talk. You know what I don't want to do is spend time with Chris in the room talking about the room service menu. When I go out with the coaches, I don't want us to spend 30, 45 minutes all trying to figure out what the fuck we're going to eat. You know what I want to do? I want to talk about y'all. I don't get to be with the coaches very often. I think sometimes we forget how much energy we waste and how much time with people we waste debating food that in a year from now, you'll never remember. I don't even remember who asked the question. Mindy, you're going on a business trip. I would just ask myself, is this meal so pivotal that a year from now that I'm going to like really regret if I didn't order something? If it's a no, then just don't like get over ourselves a little bit, right? Is it a no to follow my plan when I'm not eating some of the planned snacks? Let's say if you plan something and you don't eat it, guys, you don't have to put you're not following your plan. You're still following your plan because you're following your hunger scale. And last one, the more time passes, the more I realize I don't believe I can lose the weight. I tell myself I can and use the example of many in the tribe, but it's still there. Continue as I am with self-talk. Look, there's no downside to it. What's the alternative, Mary, to start telling myself, well, I guess I must be right. Right, and rather than just saying like keep on practicing, like I totally believe we should all practice belief in ourselves. But start practicing belief in another way for it. Like rather than like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to lose weight. Like, or telling yourself every single day, I know I can lose weight. What do you know you can do that's on the action line? I know I can follow my 24-hour plan for a week. Like start practicing belief in the actions that will eventually get you to the place you want to be with the overall belief of being able to lose weight. And I think that might give you a little bit more traction towards your belief. Okay. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. I've got a meeting starting in 20 minutes, so I need to text her back. She's been texting me like, are we meeting or not? It's like, yes, let me get my stuff together. So y'all have an amazing one. This replay will be up within 24 hours. So if you missed it live, don't worry about it. And you're catching it in the Facebook. I appreciate everybody moving over here since I could not go to Zoom today because of the bandwidth and stuff. You guys have a great one, and I get home on Sunday. I might have a call Monday night. I'm not 100% sure. I will see you soon if I don't see you sooner. All right. Talk to you later, guys.